Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Y'all okay if I just stand down here? Yes. Amen. I like being close to folks and be able to look at you and see you. You know, Brother Hagin taught us a long time ago that we can look at people and your heart and your face are connected. Amen. Amen. And so I like to be close where I can see how our hearts are responding. Again, such an honor and a privilege to be here. So grateful for Pastor Mark and Miss Jennifer to give me the opportunity to share with you this morning. They are down near the Jacksonville, Florida area. And as Jacob said, you know, here in the Birmingham area, there's the main campus where you guys are. Celine and I, Dusty and Heather and our church family are on the North Campus in the Gardendale area. But we're actually bigger than that. Amen. Pastor Mark is with Pastors Rick and Denise Norman down at Revelation Church, and they're also part of our church family. Amen. Amen. And they, Pastor Rick and Denise, we were ordained through Life of Faith a few years ago. They were actually the first pastors we had the privilege of ordaining. And as well, we have a church, an Hispanic church called Casa de Restauración in Jacksonville, Alabama. I don't know what the Jacksonville things are, but we're near Jacksonville, Florida, and we're in Jacksonville, Alabama. God's doing something in the Jacksonvilles of this world, just like he's doing something here. So what we're a part of is bigger than what we're experiencing today. Amen. Aren't you glad the kingdom of God is always like that? Amen. That the kingdom of God is bigger than just you. Amen. The kingdom of God is bigger than just us. Amen. And we're a part of something always greater than ourselves. You know, if I could tell everybody this, you know, out there in our culture today, everyone is hungry for a cause. Everyone's hungry for something to live for. But you and I have been part and are part of the greatest cause that's ever visited planet Earth. Amen. That's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on now, don't look at me real funny like that. Y'all understand that, don't you? Amen. Don't go out there hunting a cause because you already got one. Amen. You already have something to live for. You already have something to be a part of that is eternal and will be eternal and will last forever. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit, an aspect of that this morning, if you will. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to two passages, one to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we'll look about the 12th verse, and the other one in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and I'll have to look over at my notes and remind you what verse we'll be in. But before we do that, can I just pray and bless our time around the Word this morning? So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. As always, we are so grateful that you are our teacher, that the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us, and that together, Father, we learn from you. Lord, we're so grateful that there are no superstars, there are no big I's and little U's. But Lord God, that together we are your family, together we are your body, and together we are making a difference in Jesus' name. So Father, help me this morning to communicate clearly and accurately and help us to hear from you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as Jacob said, my name is Brad. I look around and there's some faces I haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet. So if you don't know who I am and I don't know who you are, please come find me at the end of the service. I'd love to shake your hand. You know, we've been going for about a year and a half over on the North Campus. Your church family there says hello to you. Amen. And they're grateful to be a part of our body. We have more activities coming in this year where we're going to celebrate and worship together as a greater church family. So be listening for those announcements to come. But know that I am wanting to speak to you as one of your pastors this morning. Amen. So where did I tell you to go in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at this together. Before we get started, will you do this? Look at your neighbor and say this. Say, what kind of tater are you? Right? What kind of tater are you? Amen. Huh? Irish tater. She's an Irish tater today. Miss Gail is with her green on. But this is some fun. I saw this online and thought it'd fit in today's message, so I thought I'd share it with you. It says, some people never seem motivated to participate, but are just content to watch while others do the work. These people are called spectators. Right? Look at them again. So the other side said, what kind of tater are you? It says here, some people never do anything to help, but are gifted at finding fault with the way others do all the work. These people are called commentators. Some people are very bossy and like to tell others what to do. These people are called dictators. Some people are always looking to cause problems by asking others to agree with them. It's too hot or it's too cold, it's too sour or it's too sweet. These people are called agitators. Some people say they will help, but somehow never get around to actually doing anything that they promised to do. These people are called hesitators. Now remember, hesitation is the leading cause of roadkill. Amen? As a joke, you can laugh at any time. Then there are those who love others and do what they say they will do. And these people are always prepared to stop and do whatever needs to be done and lend a hand. These people are called sweet taters. Right? But today, I want us to talk about these kind of people. And whether you realize it or not, or know it or not, this is who you are. And this is who God is asking you to desire to be. And these are people who want to learn from those who Father connects them to and to become an example for other people to follow. These people are called imitators. Are you listening to me? Now, you know, we don't like the word imitation in our culture, do we? When I say the word imitation, somebody help me, what comes to your mind? Fake, cheap, what else? Huh? A copy? An imposter, artificial, right? We have all kinds of imitation stuff in this world, right? Imitation flavors, you know, imitation crab meat, right? You can even have a genuine imitation. Have you ever heard that phrase before? But listen to me, church family. God is asking us to become imitators. Look here in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to lay this casework out for us today. We're going to walk through quite a number of scriptures, so get your fingers ready. But the author of Hebrews says this in verse 9. He says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence and the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish," and that word also means lazy, "but imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises." Notice what God said there. He said, listen, imitate people. Are you with me? Got quiet in this Pentecostal church just right now. He says, imitate people who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. You know, in our life, it's something Selena and I have endeavored to do, but to look into our life and to see people and say, man, I see God in them. I see God working through them. I want to be like them. Amen. Did you know that's okay to say? Amen. That it's okay to have a desire to be an imitator. Does that make sense? When you look at people and go, man, I want to be like them. I look across their church, I want to be like Brother Harold over there. As I've gotten to know him and seen God in his life and his sensitivity to the things of the Spirit and his love for people. Amen. I look at Grandma T. I call her Grandma T. Sorry, Grandma T. It's Miss Thelma. Amen. And you know, I want to be like her. Right? I look across and I can say, man, there's people. I see God doing stuff in you. I see you living in the promise that we preach about so much. So God says, imitate that person. Isn't that cool? Now I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag for today, okay? And then we'll build the case around this. See, there's two kinds of people. There's two kinds of imitators that God is going to show us about this morning. Amen. There are people who will have and should have a desire to imitate others, as we just said. But if you read that in this verse, there's also another kind of person. The kind of person who is willing to allow himself to be imitated. Do you see that? In that one verse when God says, look at people, mark those people, imitate those people who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Well, that means that somebody had to stand up and say, hey, you can imitate me. Right. Church, can I listen to you? As I was praying over the last couple of weeks when Pastor Mark asked me to share, this was the thought that came to my mind. That there are people right here with us in our church families today. Amen. That it's time for you to stand up and to say, imitate me. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we talk ourselves out of that, don't we? Oh, well, I know, no. It's not me, it's God. It's Jesus. Have you heard that before, right? Somebody comes up and says, hey, Sister Susan, you know what you do is such a good job. And you go, oh, no, Brad. It's not me, it's Jesus. No, it was you. Now, I'll give you, it was Jesus through you, but it was you. Amen. You had to show up and play with him. Amen, are you with me? Or sometimes we sit back and say, well, you know what, I haven't lived that yet. I don't have the experience yet. And so I need to hang back until I experience the promise. Right? Or I need to hang back until I get all my ducks in a row. Do you know your ducks will never get in a row? Are you with me? Listen to me. Those are the people here. I want to encourage you this morning, and through Scripture, I want us to lay a foundation for us, for you to sit there and say, okay, God, this year in 2019, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to being someone people can follow. I'm going to say yes and become someone that others can look at and say, I want to be like that Brad guy. Hello, don't shout me down because we're preaching real good, okay? Amen. Does that make sense? You know, because church, as wonderful as it is to be a part of us, the body of Christ, do not hide in the us. That's good. Do not hide in the we. But stand up and say, yes, Father, I want to be one someone can follow. Are you with me? Go to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, please. Now again, y'all are singing and shouting real good during praise and worship. Amen. And I'll preach better if you'll talk to me, okay? So every now and then, just shout out. Amen. Because this is exciting stuff. Amen. This is exciting stuff for your life. Because you get to be in a long succession of people who have raised their hand and said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now this morning we're going to look at this because we're going to talk about the attitude of one who wants to be imitated. Right? So, and because that's the kind of thing, because people have said the first thing you think when you think imitation is you think fake. And I'm not talking about fake it till you make it. I'm not talking about not being authentic, right? But like we just read in Hebrews chapter 6, the attitude of imitators is this. Paul said, don't be lazy. Don't be sluggish. You know, if I ever hang back and go, you know, I need to wait a little while longer before I step out and lead. God says, Brad, that's lazy. Are you with me? He says, Brad, that's sluggish. Come on. And he says, don't be sluggish. Don't be one that hangs back. Come on. But be one that steps forward and says, follow me. Amen. Amen. Here in Philippians, famous chapter. I'm going to back up in around verse. Oh, man. Let's just start around here, verse 10. I'm going to read a lot this morning. That okay? All right, we read the Bible in this church. It says in verse 10, that I may know him, Paul says, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And he says in verse 12, not that I have already attained or that I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold for that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this attitude of mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God is faithful to show you differently. I love that. Amen. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Verse 17, brothers, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have also learned or had us as a pattern. Now, how many of you are real familiar with Paul's discussion there when he says, not that I have attained, but this one thing I do? We've heard a lot of sermons about that, right? But I press forward always to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But look here at the end of that, he says in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained. Church, start where you are. Start where you are and lead. Now again, the attitude of one who wants to be imitated is this. How many of you know I don't know everything yet? How about you? Right? How many of you know I haven't arrived yet? How many of you know I haven't perfected yet? How many of you know that again, my ducks look more like kittens? And they're kind of all over the place sometimes. Are you with me? Nevertheless, I lead from where I am. From where I'm at, I say I will be an example. Knowing always that there's more for me to learn. Knowing always that as I continue to press forward like you do in God, He will continue to grow me. He will continue to grow us. So that, again, I'm not as good as I'm going to be tomorrow, but I'm a whole lot better than I was yesterday. Are you with me? So from that place, he says, walk and have this attitude of mind that I will be in a long succession of people who leave an example. Right? I love this. It says in verse 17, note those who walk this way. You know, that word literally means sit down and take notes. I mean, you see people in your life, you see people that God has brought into your life, into your network of people, and you go, man, God is doing something in them. Then take them out to coffee. Bring a notebook with you. Sit down. Ask some questions. Hallelujah. And do the same thing for them. Are you hearing? I hope you're hearing what the Spirit's wanting to say to us this morning. Amen. That God is looking for us. He's wanting us to stand up and to say, follow me. So be willing to take notes and be willing to give notes. Be willing to be there and say, hey, sit down and follow me. From where I'm at today, you'll have everything I've got. And what I learned today, I'll give it that to you as well. Amen. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's keep looking at this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Always help us. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's look at verse 6. It says, now these things, brothers, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. I love that. Again, the attitude of one who desires to be imitated is I'm not going to go outside of the boundaries of God's word. Do you hear the attitudes that we're trying to pick up? We're not lazy. We want to share our life with each other. Amen. We realize that I'm where I'm at today and I'm on a journey like you are. But I'm going to give you everything I've learned. I'm going to share everything God has poured into me. Amen. And then the next one is that I'm not going to stray outside the boundaries of what He's written. Amen. This is our anchor. This is our source. This is what allows us to understand how to follow one another. Amen. It says this, and it says, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf one against the other. So again, what we're talking about this morning is not a, you know, I'm pretty awesome. You know, Derek, I'm pretty good, man. You should really want to be like me. Now, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about an arrogance, right? We're not talking about being puffed up and being inflated and saying, look how awesome I am. You should want to be awesome too. Does that make sense? But we are talking about, look how awesome God has done in my life. Are you with me? And this is available for you too. Does that make sense? Can I talk about something real quick? Do you understand that I can only talk about me? I can't talk about you. You understand that? So if I use an example from my life, it's not because I'm bragging. It's because I can't talk about you. Amen. You know, we've had the privilege throughout, Selena and I, my wife, for those that don't know us, we've just celebrated our 20th anniversary just about a month ago. Isn't that cool? She stuck with me for 20 years. Hadn't killed me yet, praise God. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. But people look at us and they do at times come up and go, wow, Brad, you guys have such a great marriage. Right? And there's two ways I could respond to that. Again, I could stand back and go, well, no. Or I could stand back and go, yes, I do. Let me tell you why. Oh, come on now. Y'all all right? Has Jesus done amazing things inside of you?
Yes.
Has God in His Word taught you things that never even crossed your mind before?
Yes.
Have you been inspired into actions from His Word that you would have never done otherwise?
Yes.
Then you need to share that with as many people as will sit down and listen. Because it's not because of you, it's because of the faithfulness of Father. All you've done is proven that God is true. All you've done is proven that if someone is willing and halfway eager to take a step out on the things of God, that it works. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How many of you heard that great song, you know, Jesus is the answer? Finish it for me. For the world today. Y'all heard that song? Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Heard that before? You realize that you're united to Christ? So when you sing that, guess who's also in that answer? You are. Does that make sense? Now, again, hear me clearly. Now, apart from Christ, as Jesus said, I am nothing. Right? I know we all know we're very familiar with the in Him realities, right? Right? Are you familiar with the in you realities? In yourself, you are nothing. You have nothing, you know nothing, and you can do nothing. In yourself, right? That's the in you realities. However, the in Him realities are, you have all things. You know all things. You can do all things. Are you with me? So that means, again, for Jesus to be the answer, you're part of that answer. Because He is answering through you. And that's why we want to stand up. And we want to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, God. Use me. Here I am, God. Send me. Here I am, Lord. I'm willing to allow my life to become a pattern for others to follow. You know, here we are again in Corinthians, right? Is that where I left you off? You know, back where we were in Philippians, Paul talked about being a pattern. Any ladies in here ever made dresses? Ever sewn anything? I mean, what do you use to make those things with? A pattern. What do you do with that pattern? I'm not crafty like that. My girls are. Amen. What do you do with that pattern? Somebody tell me what you do. Well, you lay it out on top of the fabric and you allow that thing to be cut out. That's the word Paul was using when he says, make yourself a pattern. We'll look at it again in some more scriptures. That you're willing, you're saying, here I am, Father, I'm willing to allow my life that you've given me. I'm willing to allow my life to become a pattern so that you can lay me on top of others and you can cut them out. Are you with me? Because everyone needs a Jesus with skin on. Are you with me? Everyone needs a flesh and bone Savior. Now again, we understand. Are you with me? Jesus has saved us. Amen. He did the work. But he moved into this body. Just like he moved into your body. So you get to be a walking around, flesh and bone, pattern of Jesus Christ. So that as Paul said, and we'll maybe look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul said, so therefore, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So again, I'm not saying imitate Brad because Brad's awesome. I'm just saying imitate me. I'm going after Jesus. How many of you got the same testimony? Sounds like you're an imitator. Amen. Are you with me? Let's keep reading. 1 Corinthians 4. For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? I love that last question, don't you? If you've received the fullness of God, don't act like you ain't got it. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. I love this attitude of Paul. This is a whole lot of together, right? Amen. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. He says in verse 14, I do not write these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have had 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Notice verse 16. Therefore I urge you. What does it say? Imitate me. Listen to what Paul is saying. See, the attitude of one who wants to be an imitator, someone who wants to be imitated, is the attitude of a father. Right? Amen. He says, you have many teachers. Teachers are awesome, right? I know we probably got some teachers in here. Amen. That teach in school. That's a good thing. Again, there's teachers in the church that are a good thing. Amen. But he says, but I want to be a father. I want to be more than just a teacher. I want to be more than just someone who gives you words only. But I want to be someone who lives with you and walks with you and shows you the way. See, that's what fathers do, right? Many of you who don't know us, Selena and I, we have five beautiful children, ranging in ages from 14 to 5. Three of them are here. Amen. And every day I realize that I am teaching them both with my words and with my example. Amen. And what I love to see, though, is you see them follow after us, right? Imitating us. Again, can I tell on one of your pastors, all right? And you still love me? Amen. This may not be an overly sanctified moment, but I'm a bit of a Jimmy Buffett fan. How many of you like Jimmy Buffett music? It's not a recommendation, okay? I'm not putting it out there. That kind of goes back to some of my pre-Jesus days a little bit, but I'm still a bit of a parrot head, as we would say. Amen. And so I was listening in the shop. I was listening to a Jimmy Buffett song that's called Cheeseburger in Paradise. Have you ever heard Cheeseburger in Paradise? Heaven on earth with an onion slice. Not too particular, not too precise. It's just a cheeseburger in paradise. Don't look at me real hard. Some of y'all know this song. Y'all with me? Come on, amen. Well, you know what was funny this morning? I was studying and kind of wrapping up the message for this morning. And in the kitchen, Caleb's in the kitchen. He's cooking breakfast for us. And all I hear is him going, cheeseburger in paradise. I was thinking about our sermon. I was thinking, man, he heard that once. But he heard it hanging out with me. See, he heard his father, right? And we were there working and building a school project, right? And things were passed on. I mean, you know, I didn't give that in a class, right? I didn't hand him a sheet music and go, memorize this, son. You see the power in example? Guys, can I tell you this? That little example there, that we will teach more people about God by living as an imitator than I ever will by teaching over a pulpit. That as you allow your life to be opened and as you step forward and say, follow me as I follow Christ, as you have this attitude we've been talking about, and you have the attitude of a father, you'll find people responding to God way quicker than they will in a sermon. Way quicker than they will in a message. Things that I might, or Pastor Mark, or any other minister, we may have to do whole sermon series on stuff. Right? We may have to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. Amen. But you'll get out there and you'll live it with them in example, and they'll pick it up like Caleb did a Jimmy Buffett song. Are you with me? They'll follow. See, because this is bigger than I think we've ever thought about before. The reality that God is working through each and every one of us. You know, I've told those of our church family on the North Campus, one of my greatest, desires for my life would be, as I would love to trace my spiritual family tree. How about you? Absolutely. I've gotten it back about four generations, right? Amen. It started with my mom, my mother. Amen. Who played tapes and did, remember those old confession sheets? Amen. That came back in. And we had those, man. We had a 30-minute drive from our house up in Corner down to downtown where they put me into school. And we were either listening to Brother Copeland or Brother Hagin. We were doing a confession sheet. Mama was talking to me. She was asking questions. She had me captured for an hour every day. 30 minutes there, 30 minutes home. Whether I wanted it or not. She didn't ask. Parents, that's a big thing. Don't ask if they want it. Amen. She just played it and she just lived it and she really did do it. But she got it, amen, from a man by the name of Jerry Bishop. Amen. Who led our family into the things of God. Jerry Bishop got it from a man by the name of Brother Hagin, who later I had the privilege of going and being at Brother Hagin's school. Amen. There at Rhema. And I picked up some things from there. Brother Hagin told us stories about Mom and Pop Goodwin. And about a man by the name of P.C. Nelson, who wrote a little book called Bible Doctrines. You should read it. It's really good. Amen. These are heritage. And I lose the trail right there. But can you imagine the long line of people that you're connected to? The long line of people who were willing to be examples. The long line of people. And if you could trace it, it would go all the way back to the mouth of Jesus himself. That's going to be what I do when I get to heaven. I want to connect all the dots. How did this message get down to me? But here's a greater thought. You know, this message is going out from me. And it's going out from you. Hallelujah. I was listening to a message this week. And if I could paint this imagination for you, can you imagine maybe three or four generations from now? That there will be people who will mention your name like I just mentioned my spiritual ancestors' names. There'll be people who talk back and they'll say, it was a Derek Crosby. Right? It was a John Fant. It was a Jeff Thomas. And they'll be telling their kids, Daddy, Daddy, how did you hear about Christ? And they'll mention your name. Isn't that cool? Because you were willing to step up and say, yes, Father, I'll lay my life down as a pattern. Yes, Father, I'll be an example. Amen. Y'all doing all right? Y'all want to handle some more? I mean, go to 1 Thessalonians. Again, just felt on my heart to share some thoughts and teachings with you, if that's okay. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at the first chapter. We'll start in the second verse. Kind of interesting, just this might be a side trivia note, little parentheses here. According to many historians, this was the first book the Apostle Paul ever wrote. So it's kind of fun. I did it once a few years ago. It's kind of fun to study Paul's letters in the order in which he wrote them and watch his transformation by grace. So if you've never done that, it's kind of cool. Amen. It says in verse 2, it says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, beloved brothers, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." I want to unpack this just a little bit, will you? Notice what Paul says. Paul gives us kind of four things or four components of sharing the gospel. Right? He said, our gospel did not come in word only. You know, it comes always by word of mouth. It seems to me that God has made our faith a faith that is centered around language. Meaning that if someone does not speak, faith cannot come. So can I just, even as we talk about example, can I just teach here just for a moment? How many of you have ever heard this again? They're going to know Jesus by my testimony, by watching me. Have you ever heard somebody say that before? Right, they're going to look at me and I'm just going to win them by my good Christian example. And no, you won't. Right? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right? Now, I like what Paul said. Now, we didn't just bring the gospel in word alone. So it's not just get out there and preach and talk and that's where it ends. Notice what he says. He says, but also in power. We could say in demonstration. I mean, that's why it's so important that we come to these Wednesday nights Pastor Mark is doing with us here. These Activate Wednesdays, where we are living and walking out and learning how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Because that's part of presenting the gospel. Are you with me? It's by word. It's in power. It's in the Holy Spirit. Again, that's why as a church family, we are so big on understanding that we are led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. This whole last series that Pastor Mark did on hearing the voice of God, we did similar on the North Campus, right? We are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. He guides us into truth. He leads us into the future, amen? So that's part of the gospel. But also look at this, little phrase he says, and in much assurance. Now, what do you mean by that? Not insurance, but assurance. That's back to what we've been talking about this morning. What's the assurance part? That you can look at my Christian example and it lines up with what I say. Amen. So that there is no disc, because that's the big kind of complaint sometimes, right, about Christians, is the word hypocrisy. That we say one thing and we live a different way. That's what Paul is saying. That a component of the gospel is, here I am, follow me. I can be an assurance that the truth you're hearing is real. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not just, you know, are y'all with me? Y'all look kind of funny sometimes. I kind of, everybody all right? You just thinking? Amen. Because you know what? Have you ever heard this? You know, practice what you preach. Is that to preachers? Preacher, practice what you preach. I like to say it a little bit backwards. I want to preach what I practice. I don't want to practice what I preach. I want to preach what I practice. And that's the heart cry of one who wants to be an imitator. Amen. I want to be an assurance for people. Amen. As you know what kind of men we were among you, Notice this, for your sake. Guys, you realize you're not living for your sake, right? I'm not living for my sake. I'm living for the sake of others. So becoming an example, again, this is that attitude, is not so that I can look awesome. It's because I'm living for the sake of others. Amen. Because people are asking, show us Jesus. Show us the Christ. Right? And we need to show Him and demonstrate Him in the power of the Spirit, but also in the living out of our life. If you'll fast forward, we're going to come back here just into chapter 2 of this same book. Notice this. Chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart unto you not only the gospel of God, but what is that next phrase? But also our very own lives. Notice what Paul says. Because we cared for you, because we cared for who you are and who God is making you to be, I didn't just want to put the gospel message into you. I wanted to put Brad into you. Oh, come on now. Y'all with me? I want to put myself into you. Your desire is to, I want to pour myself into people. Hallelujah. That's the greatest privilege we have as believers. Amen. Right? Is that we can pour our lives out daily like Christ poured His life out.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? Amen. And I can pour who I am and everything He's given me, and I can pour it into people. And I can invest myself and pour myself in. Right? That's a privilege. It's an honor. Man, that's a life goal. Hallelujah. That's an eternal goal. Amen. Keep reading back up, back where we were. Chapter 1, verse 6. Paul again talks about those four components of the gospel. He talked about what kind of people that they were for their sake. He says, and you became followers of, what's that little two-letter word? Us and of the Lord. Do you see that? These people became followers of them and God. You know, you can do the same thing for the people in your world. Amen. So that people can become followers of Greg and Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all looking at me like, I don't know about this crazy guy now. Come on, are you with me? Have you ever thought about that? That's part of your calling as a Christ follower? Is for people to be able to follow you as well? Amen. That's a privilege. That's an honor. Having received the word in much affliction and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to how many people? To all that were in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. I love that. These people became examples. Do you see that? They followed Jesus. They followed Paul. And in doing so, they became someone others could follow. All throughout their state and their region. For from the word of the Lord has sounded forth. I'm sorry, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. I want you to underline that for yourself today. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia, because not only in Alabama, but in Georgia. And in every place you go to, everywhere. To everybody. Amen. It has sounded forth from you. I love this. It says, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. How cool will that be? Amen. That we could live in such a way that our pastors get up and go, well, y'all doing such a good job, I ain't got nothing to say. That's what he was saying, right? Oh, come on now. Y'all looking real funny at me. You understand that the greatest opportunity I have is one of your pastors. This is what I love so much about our pastor, Pastor Mark, is that our greatest job is to build a platform for you to stand upon. That's my number one responsibility. My number one responsibility is to get you to the place where I no longer have to talk. Hallelujah. For from you has gone forth your faith and the word of God. Isn't that cool? Amen. The greatest win I think we can get in the body of Christ is this, is that when we all as individual people are standing up, we're allowing God to use us and to change us, and we're putting ourselves forward to others in our world and saying, follow us. Amen. That what church looks like when we gather on Sundays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or whatever looks like a long introduction of people. Amen. Where Cynthia goes, hey, Brad, I'd like to introduce you to this person. Right? I'd like to introduce you to this person. We've had the privilege of leading them. We've had the privilege of them coming to know Jesus through us. Amen. Amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Got a little bit more time here. Y'all take a little bit more. Did the preacher's joke? Can anybody give me what I got? I think I got 5 more minutes. Anybody give me 5 more minutes? Who'll give me? I got 5. I got 10. I got 15. I got 20. No, I'm just teasing. I understand that the short-winded will be invited back. Amen. And that the heart can only receive what the backside can endure. Right? Amen. But if you can endure a little bit more, if you will, I want us to turn over to 2 Thessalonians. I was amazed when I was looking at this at how much the Apostle Paul talked about this subject. How much he talked about being an example, becoming a pattern for others to follow, being an imitator, right? Not just someone who is willing to follow another, but someone who is willing to be followed, who is willing to stand up and to say, I will lead. You understand? If you look at it, and you can look at it later, but in Timothy, you know, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are called the great pastoral epistles. They're the letters written to pastors. And I found it very interesting that in chapter 3 of 1st Timothy, when Paul was writing about pastors and the qualifications to pastors, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, he who desires the office of a pastor desires a good work. I've always found it astounding that he didn't say he who was called. Don't look at me real funny now. He just said, no, he who desires. See, guys, it's okay to desire leadership within the family of God. It is okay to sit there and say, okay, Father, I desire to lead your people. Did you know that? It's okay for you to say that. It's okay to have the desire. Are you with me? I mean, we have a great vacuum of leadership within the church. Amen. Because many times we've said before, no, that's self-serving. Well, only if you're self-serving. Are you with me? Oh, no, Brad, that's just prideful. Well, yeah, if you're prideful, it's prideful. Are you with me? Oh, Brad, that's arrogant. It is if you're arrogant, you're right. But everything you do is arrogant if you're arrogant. You ever notice that about arrogant people? But Jesus gave us the pathway to greatness, didn't he? Yeah. He said, if you desire, didn't you know, if you desire to be great in the kingdom? See, if that had been wrong to desire to be great, Jesus would have said, don't desire it. But he said, you desire to be great? Awesome. Serve everybody. Become the slave of all. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. See, that's what we're talking about. That's the heart of one who wants to imitate. It's to say, okay, God, I have a desire. That's my heart for us today. Here in just a few moments, I want to give you an opportunity, because when I prayed, I really sensed. It's been in me this whole year for 2019 as I prayed for our church family. Guys, this is our year to say yes. Stand out. This is our year to declare, I will be and become. Amen. Praying earlier in this year for our church family and the imagery God gave me, I'll tell you where it came from in our time that remains. There's more I can share. But let's go this way. Amen. A friend of mine, an old friend, because many of you that don't know me, I was born and raised here like you, many of you, and grew up here and then went away. The Lord led us into great opportunities and showed us things that still boggle me that he would allow us to be a part of. Amen. We got to come back here, but a person, old friend, sent me, they found an old photograph of when I was much, much younger. Amen. And they say, you remember this? Have you ever seen an old photograph? Right? And it takes you back to a place. And it's almost, you can, and depending on what you can remember. When that photograph came, I remember where we were, who I was with, what it smelled like, what was going on. And it just took me right back. And I felt like Father said, he says, I'm going to be doing that for many of us in our church family this year. That there are dreams and there are desires and there are callings and there are visions in your heart. And he's going to begin to show you the photographs again. He's going to remember when I talked to you about this. Remember when I gave you this idea. Remember when I planted this dream on the inside of you. You remember where you were. And he'll show you an image of things that he's spoken to you about. Things that maybe for whatever reason, like me, you said, maybe I can't, maybe I won't, maybe I'm not able. And this year, for us, it's our year to say yes. And that begins with what we were talking about today. Will you say yes to just sticking your hand up and saying, God, I want to be an example for others to follow? Are you with me? Will it be a time, and I just sense that if you're here, that it's a time to sit there and say, no more excuses. Excuses about why I can't. Excuses about why it's not me. Because he has no excuse for you. Does that make sense? When Father looks at us, he does not see impossibility ever. He only sees possibility. He only sees what we are able to do. What he has created for us to do. What the vision and the goal and the plan is. Amen. Again, and when I shared this with our North Campus family, again, understand this is for a lot more than just ministry ideas. This is for all of your life, everything. Right? We're not just talking about people who may want to preach, teach, whatever, go on mission trip. That's included, but it's bigger than that. Amen. It's your whole life, all the things. Amen. And this year is our time to say yes. And so, today, if you would, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is your time. If I was speaking and this was resonating with your heart this morning, the time of ministry I felt I wanted to do is will you say, okay, Father, I'm going to let myself be someone others can follow. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to come up with reasons why I could, shoulda, woulda, whatever. But I'm going to say, Father, this year, Lord, I will make myself an example. This year, I will stand up and say, I will become and be a pattern for others to follow. This year, not only will I seek out those that I desire to follow, but I will stand up and be someone people can follow. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and just say, okay, that's me. Hallelujah, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. So, Father, we just come to you this morning. And Lord God, I speak over everyone that is here, especially those who raised their hand and said, okay, Father, I'm ready. Have a desire to lead your people. Father, I pray over them. Lord, the prayers of Paul, prayers of revelation. And Lord God, the prayer of James, the prayer of wisdom. Father, that you would open up the eyes of their heart. Lord, that they would see and know the fullness of your calling in their life. Lord, that they would know the exceeding greatness of their inheritance because they are a saint in your light. Lord God, that they would know the exceeding greatness of your power that resides and dwells and is toward them. The resurrection power of Christ himself that conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for them for wisdom, that you would open up their mind and give them greater understanding. Lord God, greater insight, greater wisdom of the word and of life. And Father, I pray, Lord, as you said through Paul in Colossians, that you would open a door for them. Father, Lord God, that as they have raised their hand and said, Father, I stand up and I desire to lead, that Lord God, they're going to see and see the people that are you are drawing to them. They're being drawn to their life. And Lord God, that this revelation and this wisdom is not for their sake alone, but it's for the sake of another. And Lord God, that you would give them boldness to speak, boldness to stretch forth your hand to heal, boldness, Father, to allow signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit to flow so that the gospel can go forth in a fullness and in a greatness into their world through them. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just keep playing, guys, if you will. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious living God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Just want to say this just as a word for you this morning that are here. You understand, because our Father is eternal and he sits as the King of time. He is therefore outside of time. That is never too late. Never too late. I just heard that inside of my heart. Amen. It looks across. If you're here and you're saying, yeah, Brad, but I've missed the boat. Amen. It's too late for me. Nope. Never. Never, 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 never too late. Hallelujah. Because he is not bounded by time. He is not constricted by time. He is not constricted by age. Hallelujah. Amen. We didn't get to look at that verse in this that we looked at, but it's in Timothy. When Paul talked to Timothy, right? And he said, don't despise your youth. Amen. I love that Paul, or God through Paul speaking to someone, was speaking to a younger person. Not because they're younger, but because he was saying age does not matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Because in Paul's day, they despised age and youngness. Our day, we've just flipped the script. We despise age. It's just oldness. Amen. But God despises no age because he doesn't see age. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? In God's eyes, you are timeless. Because all that's going to happen one day is if he tarries his coming and we live here, I'm just going to cross over. Amen. I'm just going to put this earth suit down. Amen. This is just my jacket. Amen. And I'm just going to lay my jacket down, but I'm not going to stop. Oh, come on now. Do you understand me? Don't retire on God. Don't retire on the call of God. Never, never, never stop. Because you will never stop. Amen. You'll just cross over. Amen. That's for you. It's never too late. It's never too late to say yes to that. It's never too late to dream bigger. It's never too late to begin something. Never, 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 never. Amen.